Getting less attention than the hearings on the nominee for the U.S. Supreme Court, but also important to the political process, Twitter and Facebook are on Capitol Hill this week. I'm David Brancaccio. One of the hearings involving social media companies will be Wednesday at the Senate Intelligence Committee. This is about foreign influence on social media, the kind that U.S. intelligence officials say happened in the run-up to the 2016 elections. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has more from Washington.
These tech industry hearings are a rare bit of bipartisanship in Congress, says Roslyn Layton, a visiting scholar at the American Enterprise Institute.
Both parties are upset with Silicon Valley, albeit for different reasons.
Democrats argue these companies aren't doing enough to fight foreign influence. Republicans complain the crackdowns underway unfairly target conservatives. Layton says we might get online privacy legislation before the midterms, but
I think something on security will be more difficult in that we are quite decentralized in our elections.
State and local voting systems, social media, and lots of other factors. Ellen Goodman teaches law at Rutgers and says it's good for tech companies to be held accountable. At the same time,
we don't want First Amendment freedoms sort of beaten down just by virtue of having these tech executives dressed down on Capitol Hill.
She says the industry has made changes already ahead of this election, but members of Congress are likely to demand more. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
A trade offer for the U.S. from Europe, it's not about steel, aluminum, cars, or trucks. It's about U.S. beef imports. Europeans are leery of U.S. meat treated with hormones, but about a decade ago, European limits were found to violate world trade rules. So then there was a quota that was supposed to help the U.S. cattle industry. The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker is here to explain why that didn't work.
This quota wasn't specifically allocated to the United States. You're not supposed to discriminate between trade partners under World Trade Organization rules. And the US has been a bit disappointed at the amount of beef they've been able to sell under this arrangement, because other big beef producers, notably Argentina, Uruguay and Australia, have been muscling in on the action.
Ooh, competitive world when it comes to exporting beef to the European Union. But now there's this, what can we call it, an olive branch from the European Commission?
Yes, that's right. And the European Commission is now proposing to have negotiations to try and find some way, a way that is consistent with WTO rules, of ensuring that the United States farmers get a bigger share of that quota. Now, how they are going to reconcile doing something like that with WTO rules is going to be quite a challenge, frankly, but they do have indicated that they do want to try and ensure that the US does get more of the benefit of an arrangement that was there specifically to compensate the United States for the European Union's failure to comply with WTO rules.
All right. The beef over beef. The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker helping us with this. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, David.
Crude oil is up 2% in New York, above $71 a barrel, with Tropical Storm Gordon headed toward land, including the fossil fuel-producing region near the Louisiana-Mississippi border. Crews were taken off two offshore oil rigs ahead of the storm, but we have no reports yet of refineries shutting.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
The Trump administration's 25% tariff on imported steel has triggered retaliation from Canada, the EU, China. But over the summer, one country that's also been a target of U.S. tariffs has been relatively quiet. It's Japan. Adrian Ma reports the Japanese reaction depends on whether the target is steel or cars.
Randy Yoshimura is a manager at Japan's Sumitomo Corporation. Among the many things they sell are these steel tubes used in oil and gas drilling. He says they're so high quality, they're like the Cadillac of tubes.
Or maybe as a Japanese person, I should say Lexus of tubes.
Whatever you call them, they are subject to the steel tariff. But Yoshimura says he's not too worried.
I mean, tariff only makes sense if there is a company within your country that can produce the same thing.
And if you're a drilling company looking for the Lexus of tubes, there's just no good made-in-the-U.S. substitute. And here's the thing. Japan's steel industry is built on these niche, gotta-have-it type products. So American companies that need it will probably keep buying, even if an import tax ups their cost. Now, that would not be the case for an actual Lexus. That's why Japanese trade officials are fuming about President Trump's proposed tariff on foreign cars. Maria Solis is with the Brookings Institution.
We're talking about now a major economic interest of Japan being affected.
To understand just how major, pretend this steel screw is worth $1 billion. Last year, Japan shipped the U.S. less than $2 billion worth of steel. Over the same period, Japanese car imports were worth $40 billion. On top of putting a huge dent in car sales, the Peterson Institute predicts a tariff would raise the price of some foreign cars as much as $7,000 a piece. President Trump says it would force foreign car companies to invest more in the U.S. At least that's what happened in the 80s, after President Reagan forced Japan to cap its auto exports. But Maria Solis says,
Not so fast. The world economy today is very different from what it was 30 years ago.
Japanese car makers have since built more than 24 manufacturing plants here. So if they get hit with a tariff, she says American workers could feel the impact. In Cleveland, I'm Adrian Ma for Marketplace.
Told you about crude oil up with the storm coming. Checking stocks, the FTSE in London is down 0.3%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are mixed about 2.5 hours before the formal trading begins. Going into the first stock trading day of September, let's wrap up August. For the month gone by, the Dow rose 2%, the S&P up 2.2%, the NASDAQ rose 3.8%. That's a strong month. While past performance doesn't tell you much about the future, note that September has historically been a volatile month for markets. October has had its moments as well. Our producers are Michael Lipkin, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.